Hello and welcome to today's episode of The Quad Shot, where we help you down and digest the day's most pertinent cancer news. It's April 13, 2020. Welcome to The Quadcast. First up, triple double. When it comes to first-line chemotherapy for metastatic colon cancer, a major point of debate is whether you should use doublet or triplet cytotoxic chemo with or without Bev. In the original TRIBE study, triplet chemo, FOLFOXIRI plus bevacizumab, had better progression-free and overall survival than doublet chemo, FOLFIRI plus bevacizumab. However, it's more toxic, and some wonder if exposure to all three agents in sequence rather than in combination is still effective but potentially has less toxicity. So the TRIBE 2 study was born, and TRIBE 2 compares first-line FOLFOXIRI plus Bev with planned second-line FOLFOXIRI plus Bev versus first-line modified FOLFOX 6 plus Bev with planned second-line FOLFIRI plus Bev. Note, this is a preliminary manuscript that hasn't completed peer review. The primary endpoint of overall time to second progression was statistically longer with triplet therapy, 16 versus 19 months, and overall survival was also longer at 23 versus 27 months, which appeared to be largely driven by the improvement seen in first progression-free survival because there was no difference seen in second progression. This is all despite the fact that the toxicity was higher with the triplet therapy, and fewer triplet patients went on to reintroduction to triplet therapy. The bottom line is, upfront exposure to three cytotoxic agents in combination, FOLFOXIRI plus bevacizumab, achieves longer overall survival than exposure to the same three cytotoxic agents in sequence, as published in Lancet Oncology 2020 by Cremolini et al. Up second, 10 out from Tim. Many of us use concurrent temozolomide and radiation to treat high-risk, low-grade glioma. But the question is, why? The data for adding chemotherapy to radiation mainly comes from RTOG 9802, where adding sequential, not concurrent, PCV chemo after 54 gray significantly improved overall survival. But most will side with the phase 2 data from RTOG 0424 and use concurrent and adjuvant temozolomide similar to that seen in high-grade glioma. Here we have the long-term results, as published in the Red Journal 2020 by Fisher et al. To be eligible, patients had to have three of the following risk factors, which were the ERTC high-risk factors, including age of 40 or greater, 6-centimeter tumor size or greater, a bihemispheric tumor, astrocytoma histology, and the presence of moderate to severe neurologic symptoms at presentation. The target was the postoperative cavity, any residual tumor, and post-op flare changes with a 1.5-centimeter CTV margin and a 5-millimeter PTV margin. All of this received 1.8 gray times 30 fractions for a total of 54 gray with concurrent temozolomide, followed by 12 cycles of adjuvant temozolomide. What's new here? Well, the median overall survival was 8.2 years, and median progression-free survival was 4.5 years. At 5 years, progression-free survival was 47% and overall survival was 61%. When you got to 10 years, the progression-free survival was 26% and overall survival was 37%. By comparison, in 9802, the progression-free survival was 51% and overall survival was 60% 10 years out from the radiation and PCV. But the criteria for high risk were significantly looser, including anyone with the age of 40 or greater. So many consider this patient cohort to be higher risk overall than RTOG 9802. On the other hand, outcomes were notably better than historically seen with radiation alone. And importantly, molecular subset analysis of 0424 is ongoing. The bottom line is, long-term results support temozolomide with radiation for high-risk, low-grade glioma. Up next, mind control. So how effective are immune checkpoint inhibitors for brain metastases in patients with non-small cell lung cancer? Well, in this phase 2 single institution trial, 42 patients with asymptomatic brain metastases between 5 millimeters and 2 centimeters in diameter were treated with initial pembrolizumab alone without radiation. All of the brain mets had to have been untreated or progressing after prior radiation. The majority of patients, 88%, had PD-L1 expression of at least 1%. Overall, 11 patients, or 26%, had an intracranial response. All responses occurred within the first 12 weeks of treatment, and all were in PD-L1 positive patients. A third of these patients remained free from intracranial progression at 1 year. The bottom line is, pembrolizumab has a 26%, or 30% if you're PD-L1 positive, intracranial response rate in patients with untreated or progressing brain mets from non-small cell lung cancer. Thanks to Goldberg et al., Lancet Oncology, 2020. Up next, RENOUNCE. We've been following the highs and lows of the olaratumab saga for a while now. As a reminder, in phase 2, it was reported to nearly double median survival for patients with unresectable or metastatic soft tissue sarcoma when added to the standard doxorubicin. This was followed by abstract reporting last year at ASCO that survival was actually significantly worse with olaratumab on a similarly designed phase 3 follow-up. Now that we've had time to recover from the whiplash, the final publication is out, as published in JAMA 2020 by Tapp et al. And at a median follow-up of 31 months, for 509 patients, median survival was 20 months across the board, a little over half of enrollees staying positive for PDGFR-alpha, the supposed target of olaratumab, but it had no correlation with response or survival. The bottom line is, it's back to the drawing board for systemic treatment of soft tissue sarcoma. Up next, rational. It's rational to ration in times of medical scarcity. So we previously asked for an ethics refresher given all of the COVID-19 pandemic, and, well, we got one. Check out the link in the newsletter for a guide on how to allocate resources fairly and consistently in the COVID-19 pandemic, thanks to Emmanuel's publication in the New England Journal of Medicine, 2020. Up next, chest x-rays. The next-ditch effort in the pipeline to lower mortality rates of COVID-19 is low-dose ionizing radiation. This editorial, as published in the Green Journal 2020 by Kirkby, describes the century-later comeback of single doses of less than 100 centigray to the lungs to elicit rapid anti-inflammatory effects for life-threatening COVID-19 pneumonia with very little downside. Up next, essential services. Well, it turns out essential services does not include cancer research. Here we highlight a heartbreaking description of how years' worth of work were lost in labs across the country amidst forced closures in a nationwide lockdown, as detailed by Colbert et al. In Cell Press, 2020. Finally, Zoom doom. Social distancing and the surge of virtual meetings has been a Christmas come early for malicious hackers, because Zoom bombing is real. Check out these steps as provided by the company, Zoom, on how to avoid very, how shall we say, unpleasant disruptions during your next Zoom meeting. This concludes today's episode of The Quad Shot. If you like what you've heard, please consider giving us a 5-star rating and subscribing to our podcast. Also, check out our website at www.quadshotnews.com and subscribe to our newsletter. We'll catch you next time.